I'm going to start a little different stuff on Wednesday nights, looking at some characters, different people, different men. And we're going to start there in Genesis chapter 5. And we're going to read, this particular gentleman, this man of God, is only mentioned in the Bible three places. And we're going to be looking at all three places tonight, but mainly here in Genesis chapter 5. And we just want to look at his life. I don't say a whole lot about him. But what it does say, I believe we can bring some stuff out from his life and maybe apply it to our lives. It says in verse, we're going to start back in verse 18. And then we'll get down to verse 24. It says, and Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Does that remind you of something? Think about that. Now, I don't look into a lot of numbers, but 365 years represents our year, 365 days. I was reading a book about this, and they pointed that out, and I just thought it was interesting. So Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So we're going to be looking at the man Enoch, and I guess if you're going to put a title on this, are you ready? Are you ready? There's three things we're going to look at tonight, but we want to look there, and it says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, and God took him. We looked at the word walked. We can assume what walking is, but it says along or follow continually. Fellowship. When it says Enoch walked with God, it simply means he had fellowship with God. He communed with God. He had an intimate relationship with God. He conversed back and forth with God. But then it says he was not, for God took him. And some of the questions I want to pose to you tonight, how is your walk with God? What kind of testimony do you have? And is your life one that pleases God? There's three questions. See, it's evident, and we're going to turn there. We're going to be coming back to Genesis. We're going to be going to Hebrews chapter 11. But it's evident that Enoch had faith. And how do we know that? Because in Hebrews, it tells us about that. And we believe that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. The author is unknown, but it seems as if he was the writer. But we see there in verse 5 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. So not only did he walk with God, but he had a testimony. And that's why I posed the question, what kind of testimony do you have? But then it says there in verse 6, this is again referring to Enoch, but without faith it is impossible to please him. But it says that he pleased God. So therefore we know that Enoch had faith. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we're going to look at some characteristics of Enoch and see if we have the same type of characteristics. So as we look at the life of Enoch, there are some things we want to look at or consider. From what we do know, which is not much, what kind of man was Enoch? What kind of man was Enoch? Well, it says back in Genesis chapter 5 that he walked with God. This implies that he had fellowship. He had a personal intimacy that he walked with God. We have got to consider who Enoch was. He was the father of Methuselah, which is the oldest living man who ever lived on this earth. 969 years. I couldn't imagine. But see, back in these days, this is before the flood. This is before before there was a covering, and that's like it'd be considered or similar if we related anything to a hyperbaric chamber today, which the humidity is a lot higher and a lot more pure air. And that's why we believe that these people, they still died, but they lived to be ripe old ages. But it says Enoch walked with God. So there's a lot of things we can think about here. What do you think about when you think about somebody walking with God? We think about their relationship. We think about if you go back to the Genesis chapter 3 and you look where it talks about where it said God came into the evening, the cool of the evening, to fellowship or to commune with Adam and Eve. And that's what they did every day. And then once they sinned, they heard him coming into the garden and they hid themselves because sin causes shame. And he asked them where they were, and then they said they were naked. And he said, "Who told thee that thou art naked?" And then he goes on, and of course they're punished for what they did. And of course, when Adam chose to sin, it affected the whole human race. But then we think about Enoch. He's seven generations before Noah. He's just right before Noah. Chapter 6 deals with the flood. And if you go down through this, so he was living about the same time frame. And what was going on in the earth? Chapter 6 of Genesis, it says in verse 3, it says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Actually, it's go back in verse 1, and then we'll come down to verse 5. It says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown." But then we see there what goes on in verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that to every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." When you start thinking about what was going on then, God's wanting to destroy the earth. What's happening today? Wickedness is running rampant. So we believe, and again, the Bible doesn't tell us, that Enoch lived in the day like it is today, the day of Noah, and the wickedness. And we're going to get into a little bit more of this as we look at Hebrews, and then we're going to be looking at Jude. But we see that Enoch walked with God. We're reminded of this fact. See, we got to remember that the wicked are without God. And when it says a man walks with God, he was at peace with God. We just dealt with that here recently, the peace of God. Although born a child of wrath, he became a child of grace. See, it didn't say anything about him walking with God until he begat Methuselah. And then it says he walked with God for 300 years. I believe he got real close with God. He enjoyed close communion with God. Just think about in our own lives with our own personal relationship with the Lord and how joyous it is when we read our Bibles and God shows us a truth that applies to our lives and the time we get to spend in prayer and how exciting it is when He answers our prayers. How exciting it is when we see God work. Just as I was, I mentioned, not only did we have 10 guys show up on Saturday to tear out of the church, we went to the dump and we dumped 3 loads and they let us dump for free. They didn't charge us a dime. But I went to take the dump trailer back, just another blessing. And he told me, don't worry about it if it's for the church. So God's blessing. We could see His work. See, Enoch walked with God. What else does that tell us? Okay, he walked with God. He had close communion with God, as we understand it through our own personal relationship. But if he walked with God, what does that mean with his relationship to the world? It brings us to the understanding that Enoch was separated from the world. Because if you choose to live for God, you're not going to be living for the world. You can't do both. He was the 7th man from Adam and did not walk in the way of sinners. Because during this age, they were very wicked, as we've seen there in chapter 6, which is not too far from when Enoch was alive. But we also know, because he's separated, and we're going to look at this towards the end here. We're not going to go there yet. But that Enoch prophesied, because it tells us in the book of Jude that he prophesied. And we're going to look at that. But when you think about the life of Enoch, it was one of progress. When we walk with God, whether we like to admit it or not, when we stay faithful to God's word, we stay faithful to prayer, we stay faithful in church, and we do the things that we ought to do as Christians, and we stay faithful, what happens? We're continually what? Changing to become more like Him. So there's progress. If there's not progress, or should I say, if there's no growth, then what's happening? If something's not growing, what is it doing? It's dying. So there has to be growth in the Christian life. There's going to be changes. The closer we draw to God, the further we get away from the world. And that's what we see in the life of Enoch. And we see also, if we're going to go, as we see that there in chapter 6 of Genesis, verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Then we see that verse 11, it says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." That's why God wanted to start over. He wanted to just wipe man out. But see, if you go back to verse 8, we're going to be looking at Noah next week. He's another godly man. Yes, he had some issues in his life, but it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So Enoch was separated. Just as we are, the Bible does tell us those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm sure he was not the most popular person around for people living, just like Noah. I was talking with my wife today. And just think about it. Noah preached righteousness for 120 years and nobody listened to him. Nobody wanted to hear it. But there was 8 souls on that ark. So Noah and his family, his 3 sons and their wives, so they had 8 people that were saved. He won his own family. So Enoch walked with God. But then we go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we see that Enoch pleased God. So there's another factor we see in Enoch's life. Is that he pleased God. Chapter 11 and verse 5. And it's interesting how verse 6 goes along with Enoch. It says, without faith it is impossible to please him. So that's how we know Enoch had faith. But it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. We're going to look at that. I believe Enoch was a picture of the church. It was what was going to happen in the church age with the church. And it's going to be raptured out. And then the great tribulation is going to start, which is the wrath of God. I believe he's a picture of that. I believe he's a type. But it says Enoch pleased God. His testimony is that he pleased God. He had a testimony. How was our testimony tonight? When people talk about you, what do they say? When your name comes up in a conversation, what do they say about you? That's something we need to consider. But Enoch also was a man of great faith. He would have to be. He walked with God for 300 years. And think about all the wickedness that was all around him. And he was a preacher. He preached truth. And we'll look at this here in a minute because it talks about him prophesying. But he was a great man of faith. He escaped death. He never had to see death because it says he was translated. And he did not see death and was not found because God translated him. It said back in the Genesis that he was not. There's only one other man in the scriptures that didn't see death. You guys knew who that was? Elijah, the prophet. Remember he went off into heaven, the fiery chariot, and he told Elisha, if you see me go into heaven, that you'll receive a double blessing. Do you remember that? See, God never, there's only two men. But hopefully, Lord willing, one day we'll see the Lord come back and we may not have to see death either as being part of the church. But by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Do we live a life that's pleasing to God? Do we have the same kind of testimony that Enoch has? And then he goes on and says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But let's go over to Jude, right before Revelation. The book of Jude, there's only one chapter. Jude, and then we're going to look at starting at verse 8, Jude 8. Jude 8 says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit wherewith without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lamb, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches with ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So he prophesied. He was a prophet in his day. He had a visible walk with God, and he had a vocal walk with God. And that's the same thing we should have as Christians, is we should have a visible walk with God. People should know when they see us in society, they should know there's something different about us by the way we act. But we also should have a vocal walk with God in the fact that we should be a testimony for God. We should be witnessing to people and telling people about Christ and what he's done in our life. This is what Enoch did. It says he pleased God, he walked with God, but Enoch witnessed for God. See, not only should we live out the truth, but we still need to tell others about Christ. There's a few verses in the Bible that we can take a look at. Matthew 28, verses 19. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. This is considered the Great Commission. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end." Amen. End of the world. Amen. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to go tell others about Christ. He also told us in the book of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 15, and he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's a command. That's not an option. And that's for every Christian. It's commanded. So when it's commanded, and like I've said before, as we must realize, when the Lord asks us to do or tells us to go do something, not only does he give us the means to do so, he provides the means, but he also gives us, he equips us with the ability to do so. So when we're commanded to go out and tell others about Christ, we can go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, and verse 8, and this is also the Lord Jesus speaking. He says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." He's going to give us the power to do so. And how does he do that? By the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. In order for us to be filled with the power of God, we have to sin less. We need to confess our sins. We need to get right with God. And we need to stay right with God. That's why we need to keep short accounts with God. That's why the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need a daily cleansing. That's what when the Lord Jesus Christ went in to wash the disciples' feet and Simon Peter refused, and he says, "If you don't let me wash your feet, then you're not part of us." That's what Christ told him. Because Simon says, "Well, wash all of me." Well, he says, "Not all of you are clean." And he was talking about Judas Iscariot. But that was a representation, or should I say, a lesson for us to learn that we need a daily cleansing. And it talks about the daily cleansing of the water of the Word. That's why we need to stay in God's Word daily. That's why we need to pray daily, multitudes of times throughout the day. So we realize. So he commands us to go out and share the gospel. He equips us to witness. He gives us the power through the Holy Spirit. So we see that Enoch walked with God. We see that Enoch pleased God. And then we see that he witnessed for God. So through all of this, through these little clips of Scripture that show some of who Enoch was, he was a godly man who lived pleasing the Lord. So we know that Enoch walked with God, he pleased God, he witnessed for God, and he was not afraid to speak out against evil. Neither should we be. Because the closer we draw closer to God, it talks about the fear of God, if we truly feared God like we're supposed to, it goes along with hating evil or hating sin. That's what it says in the Bible. Time and time again, when it talks about the fear of the Lord, we're to hate sin. We can't love our sin and love God too. It doesn't work that way. But we also want to look at the fact where it talks about Enoch was translated. And I truly believe that was a picture or a type of the church being raptured before the Great Tribulation. So when we talk about the rapture, there's four things about the rapture that we should understand. It's going to be sudden. It's going to be selective. It's going to be serious. And it's going to be sad. It will be sudden, selective, serious, and sad. First of all, Jesus told them, because continually people are trying to guess that the Lord's return. How many people in history, Harold Camping was one of them, time and time again, multitudes said, the Lord's coming back on this day. And what did Christ say? Neither the hour or the day will anybody know beside the Father. Nobody knows. We can't know. And Jesus says, at that point, he didn't know, but the Father. So it's going to be sudden. It's going to come. We're going to have no prior warning. It's going to happen. It's just like a thief in the night, as it talks about in the Scriptures. When somebody's going to break into your house and steal from you, they don't call you and say, hey, I'm coming over at 10 o'clock. They just show up when they least expect it. They break in and they take and steal whatever they can. He's going to come, as it says, as a thief in the night. It's going to be sudden. But not only is it going to be sudden, it's going to be selective. And why do I say that? Why is it selective? Well, Jesus is coming back for his bride, and that's the church. He's coming back for those who have trusted him for salvation. That's why it's selective. Not everybody's getting to go. It's only those who have trusted Christ for salvation. The way by faith, by grace through faith, as it talks about in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. So it's sudden, it's selective. It's going to be serious. Why is it going to be serious? Because it's the end of the church age, as we know it, the age of grace, so to speak. And then the great tribulation starts. So we can read about it in the book of Revelation. We can look after chapter 3. We don't hear about the church anymore. And chapter 4 starts. And we start the great tribulation. And we start seeing the wrath of God being released upon mankind. It talks about a third of the people will die in the world. It talks about a third of the, there's several things that it talks about there in Revelation. It's going to be a serious time. And it's going to be a sad time. Why is that? There will be those that left behind. There's going to be people that are going to be dying and going to hell because they chose to reject Christ. And yes, it's a choice. The question I leave with you, as we look at the man Enoch, there wasn't a lot in the Scripture to testify of him, but the fact of the matter is he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. It talks about in Hebrews chapter 11 that he pleased God. He lived a life that was pleasing. He did it for 300 years. Now, we can't fathom that because we don't live that long. But he also witnessed for God. He prophesied, as it talks about in Jude. He spoke out against the evilness, because when you walk with God and you live for him, then you're going to speak out about you're going to have confidence and boldness in Christ, and you're going to speak out about sin. And when people are living in sin, you're going to say something about it. That's what comes with living for God. So how is your walk with God? What kind of testimony do you have? Are you living a life that pleases God? Are you ready? Because the Lord's coming back soon. And that's what we can learn from. We can learn from Enoch a few things about our own lives and what we should be. But the true question, are we ready? Let's pray.